How do you handle disrespect in your home with your kids? Do you fight fire with fire? Hope not. Disrespect is not a good response to disrespect. And we're going to talk about how do you respond when you have a disrespectful son or daughter. Next, here at Intentional Living, I'm Dr. Randy. Welcome to the show. Come on in, be a part of it. Love to have you participate. Our comment line is open. That's the way you can do that today, because we're reaching into the archives for today to share one of our most powerful programs. We think that what you're going to hear today will be very encouraging to you. But you're welcome to share. We want you to participate. Tell us what you think, how you deal with disrespect in your home. On our storyline, when you call 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. I will tell you, sort of a teaser for this half hour, responding with disrespect when you have disrespect is not the best way of doing it. It's not a healthy way, it's not a productive way, and it's not a way that's going to work. So we're going to show you what will work. Hope you'll come on in again and be a part of the show. Be a part of Intentional Living, where we're finding what God's intentions are and then living it every day in the moments of our life.
I remember growing up, I wasn't always the respectful child. And looking back, yeah, I thought that what my parents were saying was absolutely ridiculous. But growing up made me realize everything they said had purpose. And once I gained that appreciation for even the most ridiculous sounding things that they told me I couldn't do, it really changed my perspective about my parents and about how much they loved me and wanted me to succeed and wanted the best life for me and wanted me to be the best version of myself. So I realized after that respect is definitely huge. Granted, it took me a really long time to get there, but it really made a difference once I started being more respectful to my parents. I mean, now my little brother, the youngest, he's 16, is so disrespectful to my parents, and it just hurts me so bad to see. He hasn't yet realized that they're just trying to help him. Everything that they say is to make him a better person and help him grow in God and in life in general.
That's right. I mean, you know, if you listen to her, what she was saying is she'd learned to be more respectful. And I'll tell you, being a disrespectful person, if you disrespect people, that's a loser's approach to life. You might even call it a loser's limp. Because I think what it is it's a way of not connecting with people. It's a way of not dealing with issues. It's a way of, I don't know, bullying your way through life. And it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work in a workplace. It's not going to work in marriage. And so when you got the little ones and the teenagers in your home, it's a good time to start parenting, a little bit of a backbone. As I say, don't cave in. But at the same time, it's not like all or nothing. Some people say, I'm either this puddle in the floor, you know, I get walked on, or I've got to yell and scream and lash out and be harsh and punitive. And that doesn't work. And it's certainly not a good approach, not a biblical approach to parenting. We teach active respect. I think it's important for you to start now. Maybe you feel like you've lost some territory already. Start now by drawing some healthy lines in the sand of disrespect and say, you know, in this family, we're family and there are consequences. But also remember, you need to be accountable to your as well. If you're a disrespectful parent, if you're yelling and if you're overreacting, if you're inconsistent, if you're getting on their case all the time, or you're ignoring or not following through or whatever it is, that's an act of disrespect as well. So be a parent that is a intentional parent in your home. But maybe it's the time to start today to say, hey, we got to have a new home, new home. You all shared some questions, too, with us on our storyline. Let me see if we can dissect these and talk a little bit more about what to do with a disrespectful child.
Hi, Dr. Carlson. This is Stacy. I just have a quick question about your show, in particular today, with regards to respect. I am curious about dealing with a son who is in his teens, early teens, reacting to a father who commands and demands respect. So is it best to approach my husband as far as smoothing out that relationship, or approaching my son, or both of them? I have worked hard to respect my husband, even when my son is being disrespectful, even maybe for the right reasons. It sounds really terrible, but I hold my tongue and definitely support him for sure, my husband, that is. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Well, that's a good question. You know, we never justify disrespect, but you just said it. You just said it. Maybe my son has a right to feel that and lash back or be disrespectful to dad because dad's being disrespectful to him. We get what, you know, what goes around comes around, and we get back what we put into these relationships. Let me say this. Nobody can demand respect. That ain't happening. That's like demanding I'm the leader. You know, if you look over your shoulder and no one's following you, you're not the leader. And demanding respect is it just doesn't work. It's a law that respect is something a person gives. It's not something that we can demand. That's why it's important to set a loving, positive, cooperative environment, and an environment where as we share as a family that we're in this together, we're working together, we hold each other accountable. Yes, there's different roles and responsibility, but I'll tell you, mom or dad, if you're, quote, demanding respect of your kids, you're going to lose. Respect yourself. Respect your kids. That's why I call it active respect. Draw a line in the sand with a smile. Hold them accountable. The car, the technology, the privileges, the fun, and being able to communicate. Being able to communicate. And consistency. That's a key. Let me get another question. What do you got there?
Hi, my name is Carissa Gray, and I was just listening to your show today. I listen to it all the time, but today weighed heavy on my heart because my kids aren't disrespectful towards me or my husband, but they're very disrespectful to each other. And that's just like a whole nother realm of what you're talking about today. And I appreciate listening to your program during my lunch break, and I appreciate what you're doing for everybody. I just hope that you keep us in your prayers. Thank you.
Mm. You know, I think that's sometimes a bigger deal. I think for a mom, in particular dads as well, but moms, when you see your kids disrespecting each other and getting on each other's case or bullying each other, it hurts. It hurts. I mean, you want them to love each other and you want everybody to get along. And sometimes you can have a child that's a little bit of a bully, kind of in charge, running the show. And I think there's a couple of things with sibling rivalry that are important. One is to set an expectation that in this family, we are family. I used to tell my kids, we are Carlsons. That has some special meaning to it, that we are family. And when you have disagreements, I expect that you'll work them out, do that in a respectful way. If you need to go into the room and talk about it, if you want me to solve it, I'll solve it, but you may not like my solution. So if you're coming to complain to me, you know, I'll solve it. And at the same time, setting an environment where we're not going to tolerate profanity in this home. We're not going to tolerate, you know, any abusive behavior in this home. We're not going to tolerate the kind of disrespect that really hurts another child or one of your siblings. We're just not going to tolerate that. You may be frustrated. You may be angry. You may be upset, but your words matter and your actions matter. That doesn't mean you can't be concerned about something and want to talk about something and be frustrated about something, but we're not going to hurt each other in this family, period. And I think as we start that expectation early on, it's key. Secondly, I think, is to share as a mom what it does to your own heart. I mean, if you're really struggling with this, just say, hey, when I see you guys going at it, I got to tell you, that hurts my heart. I'm upset. I'm hurt to see you do this. You guys are family. You're going to be family all your life. There's a better way of doing this, but I want you to know I'm not going to tolerate the kind of stuff that I'm seeing. If you want to work things out, fine. If you want to talk about things, that's great. But we're not going to be hurting each other, period. Okay, let's go to Yolanda over in New Mexico today. Hi, Yolanda.
Hello.
Appreciate your call. What's your question on disrespect today?
Well, I have a 15-year-old special needs son, and he takes all his anger and issues out on me. And it's hard because no one else believes that he can act the way he does with me. Tantrums, throwing a fit in public, and now it's escalated into acting aggressively towards others around our apartment complex.
Well, what is his special needs?
Well, they've academic delay, intellectual delay.
Okay.
And autism is what one psychiatrist has told us. But he behaves perfectly well with male energy, like his father, stepfather.
So when sweet. There's a little more of a sense of authority, is that what you're saying?
Right, yes.
Well, first of all, Yolanda, I'm sorry. I mean, you're facing this. It's a unique challenge. And because you live in an environment where you have other kids, you know, you got to be responsible for your son to make sure that his behavior is going to be appropriate with others. I mean, you can't have him lashing out just because of his special needs. And at the same time, it puts an extra burden upon you to monitor that, stay on top of it, and so on. I'll tell you what happens when you have a child that has special needs and you take the teaching that, you know, the general teaching that we give on parenting, you know, logical and natural consequences and following through and being consistent, a lot of nurturing, a lot of love, a lot of time and so on. With a special needs child, it's like on steroids because you really have to, you got to throttle some areas back. You got to be more micromanagement in some areas. You got to watch the environment more carefully. I think to be really practical for you, Yolanda, I think what I would do is to sit down with the physician or the counselor, whoever's, you know, doing the therapy, and talk about what are the expectations given his level of ability, how able he is, what should I be able to expect? Because when we take a person who has a special needs, we don't want to, in the process, we don't want them to live down. We want them to live up to their capacity, live up to their abilities, to live up to all that they're capable of. And I think sometimes just getting that kind of information, that knowledge from the one who's treating or working with him can be a help to you as a parent, because then it allows you to actually put together a plan that's unique for your son. We'll be praying for you, Yolanda. I know it's difficult. Are you in a setting? Is he getting therapy, or are you getting in with a physician and so on?
He is, but his dad has chosen to medicate him. And if he didn't act, I see him around his father, and his behavior is perfect. So I feel like...
Which shows you he can throttle it.
Right.
Yeah, It shows you in certain circumstances that he can do that. You know what I'd do? I would, if I were you, I mean, at this age, I'd take the dad and yourself and your son, I'd go sit down with a counselor and talk exactly about what's going on. And someone who's a step back, a little more objective, might be able to help you put something together. But we always do watch that. Is it situational? Is it certain situations, certain people, certain circumstances, certain times of day? Or is it general? And what you're saying is around dad or around male figures, he tends to fall into line a little more. It's interesting. That would be something to really explore. Again, when we're talking about being intentional, understanding that every child is unique and every family is unique. There's not a cookie-cutter approach to this thing of life, but there are principles that we follow, and these intentional living principles can make a difference. Talk a little bit about your marriage. How long you been married? How'd you meet?
16 years this year, actually. And so my wife was the marketing director for the record label that we signed with in Nashville. And so I got to know her.
Now you get free marketing?
Yeah, absolutely, right? That's right. You know, she's so amazing. I thought she was the prettiest girl that I'd ever seen, you know? And I instantly knew, because of my insecurity, I didn't have a shot with her at all, right? And it was so neat how we got to work together. I even kind of put out the feeler, like, would you ever date a Christian artist? And she answered, no, I would never date a Christian artist, you know? But the Lord allowed her to see my heart, and the Lord allowed her to see who I really am, even beyond the way that I look or the way that I feel about myself or any of those things. And God's grace, man, brought her into my life. I've been married 16 years. I'm telling you, it just keeps getting better and better every year.
I'll tell you what, when we get on that cruise, I'm going to have to ask his wife, Candace, if she's been doing his marketing. That's Big Daddy Weave. You hear him on the air with his music and powerful testimony. And just a real guy. I'll tell you what, they call him Big Daddy for a reason. He's going to come and share what he would refer to as his Big Daddy love for you all on our upcoming intentional living Alaska cruise, and it's going to be coming up on June 12th through 19th. We're going to be talking about life, about marriage, how to have an intentional love, how to live our lives the way God intended. It'll be for you, for singles. It'll be for married. It'll be for young and old. Be for families. We'd love to have you be a part of it and come and join us on the Intentional Living Cruise to Alaska. If you want to read more about it, find out about the cabin availability because it's limited, this is the time to do it. Simply go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. And when you get there, all you have to do is click on the events and you'll see the cruise. Again, June 12th through 19th. Big Daddy Weave will be leading us in music. I'm going to be teaching. Evan Carlson, our president, will be teaching. But mostly you're going to just enjoy your family or your spouse and the time you're going to have to be with other believers in this beautiful, beautiful place. Again, go to theintentionallife.com and click on the events. Good mental health starts right here. Hey, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. Mental illness is a real problem and many times it requires professional evaluation and treatment. So let me say right at the beginning here, if you're struggling mentally, find a trusted, experienced mental health professional to help you. But for most of us, better mental health really begins with a decision to make our mental health a priority. You know, we're to eat healthy, that makes a difference. Exercise makes a difference. Limit negative input through every media source. And today, there are so many sources of negativity that can come into our life. You know, I think of the passage that says, whatever things are true and right and noble and praiseworthy, to think on such things. That's good mental health, and that's intentional living.
To get our daily video, sign up at theintentionallife.com/minute.
The first thing is shame. The second thing was what? Blame. Blame. And when we blame others, like our spouse, the world, the church, the government, it's just a quick escape from guilt. That's the definition of blaming. That's an excerpt for the teaching this month. You've heard me talk about it, Who Pushed Humpty, based on that little nursery rhyme of Humpty Dumpty falling from the wall. And, you know, the million pieces that he must have broken into is a picture of what happened in the Garden of Eden. And I wanted to teach on how do we deal with the three that we see in Genesis 3, the shame and guilt that occurs then and now in our lives. Listen, I want to tell you what, if you're spending your life wrestling with shame and guilt, there's freedom. There's freedom. Or the pain, and of course, the pain of living and the pain of dying. There's freedom from that. And then, of course, blame. We know Adam blamed Eve. We see that all in Genesis chapter 3. And this teaching this month is just a really practical lesson. It's been sent already, of course, here at the end of the month, a couple weeks ago, to our members on email. And by the way, if you're a member and you did not receive it, please check your spam folder to see if it got lost in there. And if for some reason it's not coming through and you can't find it, please let us know so we can make sure that you're on the list for members. And those of you who are not members, come and join us today. Your monthly support, whatever God lays on your heart to join us with, we appreciate it. $1 a day is going to go a long ways to impact people for Christ. Just come and join us. We'll send you the flip book this month on intentional moments plus the teaching. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And thank you for your support.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy?
Okay, thank you, Kurt. You know, the questions that we get here and at our conferences have a wide range of issues. There was a theme of questions that were written down and handed to me, and many of them really focus on this issue of disrespect. For instance, my 16-year-old daughter always seems angry, and she curses continuously and calls me names. As I read to you earlier, I mean, this 16-year-old is acting like a 2-year-old sitting in the back seat kicking the seat. And that's what she's acting like a, you know, throwing a tantrum, 2-year-old kid. Now, why she's angry, don't know. That'd be a nice thing to know. Be a nice thing to figure out. It'd be helpful for her. So she doesn't have to be angry all the time. Was there been a loss in her life? Has there been a divorce? Has there been some change in her life? But I think with a 16-year-old daughter, you sit down and say, honey, I love you, but tell you, you got, you know, I'll be honest with you, You know, I'm getting worn out. I'm a little tired of the fact that you're constantly getting angry, and I'm not going to tolerate your curses and your calling me names and, frankly, damaging the car. There's better ways to do this, and I'm happy to sit down and hear you out and figure out what's going on. But I'm telling you, if you're going to be lashing out like this, there are consequences. The car would be one. 16-year-old wants to drive. If you can't be respectful of me, I can't imagine you're going to be respectful of the car when you're out driving. Now, the fact that you say it's even getting up to becoming violent, there's a place where you cross a line and then you have to get the authorities involved. We're not going to be violent in this home. And I'll tell you, you've got a child that crosses that line. There's a parent. You got to make a decision. At what point do you say, hey, I can't handle this, but I got to have some authorities come in here and establish some authority that apparently I can't establish or not being handled here in the home. And that's a tough decision for a parent. Here's a question. How do you handle a disrespectful teenager in a blended family? Remember, a child in a blended family didn't ask to be in the blended family, didn't ask to go through whatever it is that you've all been through together. And, of course, we always teach these basic things with blended families, mom and dad standing together in agreement, talking with the kids, coming up with agreement on how things are going to run. So you got kind of an agreement, even put it in print. With teenagers, you might even want to have a contract. You kind of agree this is the way this family is going to run. And if you have one disrespectful teenager, I think getting them one-on-one, probably the parent that is the primary parent, and say, you know, you can be as angry as you want. I can't control your anger. I can't control your attitude. That's something you got to live with. But I got to tell you, you know, you're 16 years old. We got to figure this out together or we're going to end up just, you know, in this battle of power every day. And this is our home and this is the way it's going to be. I love you and I want to hear what's going on. And so you've got to decide if you want to be angry all the time or if you want to sit down with us and we can work this out together and figure out what are some of the ways that we can make this home work better. And so when we talk about being intentional, we keep coming back to what I call active respect. Now, let me say to parents with younger ones, if you've got kids, let's say 10 and under, start setting the standards at that point because it's a lot easier if this is the way you've parented. When all of a sudden the teen years come along, you've established how your home is going to be operated. If there's too much control, you're going to lose. You know, if you're being too passive as a parent, you're going to lose. But standing up and being intentional. Karen's on the line in Georgia. Karen, what's your comment today?
Well, I have a 17-year-old, and there is no talking to him. Every time I try to initiate conversation, even after it's been days of not speaking to him, the first thing that comes out of his mouth is sarcasm.
Huh. Is this recent?
Oh, no, this is constant. This has been ongoing for a couple of years.
Huh.
He is a senior in high school, straight A's, honor student, AP classes.
Well, what is he angry about? What is he angry about?
I have no idea.
No
I
idea.
I had surgery about 5 weeks ago on my neck, and he knew that I was not allowed to do anything for about a month, you know, during my recovery. And I had asked him to come over and help me do some things around the house or to give me a ride. And he's like, why? That's his response. Why?
Is he living with Dad?
Yes.
So you guys are divorced?
We have been for 15 years.
Okay. And Dad and you don't agree on parenting, have different approaches to
it? We don't speak.
Well, I think, Karen, people listening are probably putting together, you got a child, you got a young man here who's being raised in he's been raised in Dad's home, spending time with you. He's getting different messages, different priorities. So when you say you don't know, I think you probably don't know because he didn't want to tell you. He's lashing out or living out his frustration. And for you at 17, I think for you, the point is to say to your son, hey, listen, I love you. I don't know what's going on, but there's some boundaries here. You know, your constant disrespect, the way that you speak to me, and so on and so on. That's just not appropriate. That's unfortunate. You know what? I'll tell you, not only is your heart aching, what my heart aches is when I hear a young man like that, he's going to grow up. What's his feeling toward women, toward marriage, toward life? If he's harboring that kind of anger, if he could just deal with that in his own life, deal with whatever it is that's causing him so much frustration, it's going to be healthier for him. And ultimately, putting the ball right into his hands and saying, son, I can't deal with your anger, but boy, you got to, whatever it is, it's something I'm concerned for you. And that's a hard thing to say because of you're not having a good relationship. But ultimately, we've got to own our own stuff. And if anger is a problem, we got to deal with that if we ever want to have freedom in Christ.
Hi, Dr. Carlson. The situation that comes up quite often is I tell my kids to do something and they respond, yes, Mom, but then there's no action that follows those words. So I repeat it again and this time remind them of the consequence and they say, yes, Mom, but there's still no action. So after going around in circles like this a few times, I end up getting frustrated and start yelling. Then they respond. Why do they wait for it to get to that point? What can I do to change this?
Well, believe it or not, it's you, Mom, not them. I mean, come on. Kids aren't stupid. I mean, if they know they can keep getting away with whatever it is by saying, yes, Mom, that's kind of a get-out-of-jail card, you know? And so the key to intentional parenting is don't keep warning. In other words, if you have an expectation for one of your children to do something and it's reasonable and loving and they don't follow through, you don't have to yell. In fact, yelling is really a weak step in parenting. Strength is when you follow through, remove something from the scene or hold them accountable or put them in timeout or restrict something from their agenda, but let them know there's a consequence associated with disobedience and inaction. Now, don't demand that it be immediate. Sometimes parents overreact. You didn't do it right now. You know, maybe say, hey, within the next, before you go to bed tonight, I expect this to get done, and then hold them accountable. Well, thank you for your calls today as we've talked about kids. If you have a comment, love to hear it at 888-888-1717. And also, I want to remind you that we have a resource for parents called Raising Responsible Adults. It's our number one resource for families. It's our gift to all new members who join us today. If you're not a member, come and join us. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on donate. Thank you for being a part of the family.
If you'd like to know more about intentional living, just check us out at theintentionallife.com. And we'll see you next time right here from the Intentional Living Center.